It says, we'll go from verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Paul has written to Timothy, who is ministering in Ephesus. Timothy's ministering in Ephesus. Now, Paul, in his second missionary journey, you'll find the bulk of it in Acts chapter 19. He ministered for 3 years in Ephesus. And so Paul knows full well of the things that take place in Ephesus. And as a matter of fact, in his testimony to the church in Corinth, when he wrote in 1 Corinthians, he said he was, forget what the word is, but referring to them as beasts, pretty much. The people he was dealing with, they were that unreasonable, that they were that hard. And it wasn't easy in terms of handling it in the flesh, if you will. It wasn't an easy ministry. And so Timothy is now ministering there at Ephesus, and Paul is writing this epistle from Rome when he was in prison, when he was about to stand before Nero. And so that's where, even if you look back in chapter 1, where he says there in 2 Timothy, look from verse 7, this is one of your memory verses, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear," that is in reference to cowardness, "but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." And so Paul is exhorting Timothy, if you read 1 and 2 Timothy, he exhorts him in many things. He's exhorting him not only as a brother, but especially as a minister, as the pastor there, or one of, in the church at Ephesus, and he's exhorting him, like we read in verse 3, to endure hardness. It's hard, Timothy. It is hard, but endure it as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now, that reference there, you can consider the army of Israel in Deuteronomy, but it's not necessarily referring to the army of Israel here. It's more in the context of referring to the Roman soldiers. Now, what the Roman soldiers were exhorted to do and encouraged to do, in fact commanded to do, is prepare yourself for hardness. It's going to be hard. It's not going to be easy. You're a soldier. There's going to be war, as we're going to see later. It's not going to be easy. They're told what to expect, and in essence, they know that it's not a game. It's a serious matter, and he's being serious with Timothy, and he's exhorting Timothy to endure hardness. Don't be ashamed of me, Timothy. Don't be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. Don't be ashamed of me, his prisoner. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Paul is exhorting Timothy to be a soldier. Now, in later verses, it refers to not only soldiers, but those that strive for the mastery, the husbandman, and so forth, which we're not going to touch. But focusing on what a soldier is, all of us here know enough to know at least a little bit of detail concerning what a soldier must prepare for and what he must endure, or at the very least expect. When you're going to be sent out to the battleground, if you will, no soldier wants another soldier who's half-hearted or not serious about the battlefield. They want someone who's sober. They want someone who's serious. They want someone who's ready to take whatever comes their way, ready to endure hardness. And that's what Paul is exhorting Timothy to do. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Our commander is not a man, if you will. Our commander is not our pastor, if you will. Our commander are not friends or family. Our great commander is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you're not our soldier. You're not Charlie's soldier. You're not your mum and dad's soldier. You're the soldier of Jesus Christ, Timothy, if you will. And so, brethren, always remember in all that you do and whatever God has set before you to do, to keep it within the context, whatever God has set before you to do and wherever God has placed you to be, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He goes on to say, after giving him this unquestionable command, really, to endure hardness, he's not saying, let's talk about this, Timothy. He's just telling him, endure it. Take it. Don't give and take on it, or just endure it. Take it. Next, you see also there's a unanimous conclusion from when we look in verse 4. It says, no man that warreth. If you are going, it's saying no man that warreth. There's not one that's going to war that's not going to face hardness. And he's trying to tell Timothy, he's likening it unto a soldier going into the battlefield. And Timothy, you in the ministry, you need to expect these things. It's not going to be fun and games. It's a serious, sober place. And there's no mucking around. No room for it. No man that warreth, entangleth, or involves himself in the affairs of this world. So you don't only see unanimous conclusion, no man. It's not like someone can and another person can't. No one, if you're going to war, there's no exceptions with anyone. There's hardness coming your way if you're going to war. And you need to be ready to endure that, whatever the case may be, Timothy. And you see here, the one that's warring, the one that's going to fight, there's also an exhortation, you see, that don't entangle yourself with the affairs of this world. Literally, don't involve yourself with the busyness of this life. Don't do things, don't occupy yourself, even speaking of occupation, business, don't occupy yourself with these things if God has called you to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ in terms of ministry, in respect of the ministry. Don't occupy yourself with these. Don't busy yourself with these things. Don't entangle yourself with the affairs of this life. It goes further. Affairs not only referring to the, even if you want to put it, necessities of life, isn't it? Is there anything wrong with working and so on? No. But it's not talking about that. It's saying if you're called to do something, if God has put a call upon your life and you know what God wants you to do and where He wants you to be, then don't go and seek to do something else, in essence, is what He's saying. Don't go seeking out another matter. Don't go doing things in your own control. Don't entangle yourself with the affairs of this life. Don't be taken away by what this world or this life on earth has to offer. Don't. You have a calling upon your life, Timothy. And so whatever, beloved, whatever God has called you now to do or be or partake, whatever it is, and look, in, even in the context of those doing Bible Institute, you have been called, if you will, you believe, everyone here is persuaded, it's not just a good thing to study, but as far as we understand, everyone that's part of the Bible Institute believes that God wants them to do this. God wants them to be a part of this. God wants them to be studying to whatever capacity you have committed to. And we, as far as we understand, you all have committed what you believe is God has led you to whatever extent or capacity that is. And so therefore, let that be your priority. And be ready. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. All of this is just preparation leading up to the ministry. Leading up to the ministry. Because when you get into the ministry, it's not about you're going to get in and do a big, great and mighty thing for God. When you're going to get into the ministry, though there's many joys, rejoicings and wonderful moments, there's a lot of hardness that's going to come your way. And so the hardness that you're experiencing now, even just in your studies, is only preparation. I'm not going to undermine it and say it's nothing or it's little. It's just preparation to, if you will, condition yourself on how to discipline yourself by the grace of God to endure hardness, to keep on, if you will. Paul didn't want Timothy to involve himself in unholy conversation. Don't entangle yourself, Timothy. Don't intertwine yourself with the affairs of this life. Don't busy yourself with the things that God has not called you to do. Focus on what God has set before you and do it with all your heart and get ready, because it's going to be hard. So you see, not only an unholy conversation, that exhortation, don't do that, an undivided consecration. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him. That he may please him. Why do you do what you do? Why are you doing what you're doing? Why do you even sacrifice the way you do? Who's it for? What's it for, if you will? He's bringing Timothy back to focus on the one that you're actually, you're his soldier. You're doing all this for him, Timothy. He's the one that's given you your commands to follow. And so if he's commanded you to do what you do, I'm just going to exhort you, follow that. Don't entangle, don't busy yourself with things that God doesn't want you to busy yourself with. Why? Because if you do, in essence, if you're saying that he may please him, then you won't be pleasing to the Lord. God will not be pleased with what you're doing if you're doing something that he doesn't want you to be doing. If he's called you and placed you in wherever it's at right now, in whatever capacity, don't busy yourselves unnecessarily with things that God doesn't want you to busy yourself with. Why? Because you're going to find it hard to please him. Because if he gave you a command or a calling or a leading or whatever the case may be, and if you're not obeying him by faith, then you're not pleasing him. You know one of your memory verses again, Hebrews 11:6? It takes faith to know what God has called you to do. It takes faith to know what capacity he's revealed unto you. We always want to know more. And we always want to do almost other things that God doesn't want us to do. Are you doing what God has called you to do? Stay doing what the Lord has called you to do. Don't entangle yourself. Remember Charlie on Sunday when he was trying to, the cords? Hey, it's a good illustration, but that's what it is. It's actually even referring to a plaiting, a picture of the plaiting of the hair. Don't do that. Don't be single focused, that you may please him, because you can't serve two masters. You know that. The Lord Jesus Christ said it. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve two masters. Who is your master? Who is your commander? Who are you living for? Consider these things. Undivided consecration, that you may please him, and the unwavering commission who has chosen him to be a soldier. The Lord has not left us here and told. Again, I'm not going to backtrack and touch on what a soldier is. But if you're, we're not, how did, what's his name? Tozer put it, something along these lines. God didn't place us in a playground, we're in a battleground. And our fight isn't against flesh and blood, though it may manifest itself that way, coming through people and so forth, but it's against principalities and powers. It's not against things necessarily we can see, though they show themselves outwardly at times. It's bigger than that, it's deeper than that, it's more serious than that. And so therefore, remember that. If God has called you to be a soldier, what does that imply? Mate, you've got to be sober. You've got to be serious. Don't muck around. No, there's no room for carnality. There's no room for half-heartedness. There's no room for any of these things, because you've been called to be a soldier of Jesus Christ, an unwavering commission. 1 Timothy 6:12, again, Paul is constantly exhorting Timothy throughout even this 1 and 2 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed the good profession before many witnesses. There are some scriptures I want us to turn to in conclusion, coming back to verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Endure hardness. Turn with me to 2 Timothy. We're in there, 2 Timothy. Look in verse, we already touched on verse 8. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, from verse, look, and Paul is telling Timothy, look, man, we're living, he didn't say man to him, but we're living in a time, or there's a kind of come times, where it's carnal, as there's apostasy, and all abominable things are going to take place, even amongst the church of God. Look there with me in verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, and the list continues on. And we've heard it said many times before, but you look at our day and age, and man, does it really line up with that description, doesn't it? Especially that first part in chapter 2. Men shall be lovers of themselves. Isn't that what you see everywhere? How many times have you seen, I don't know if you've seen it countless times, it's not a hobby horse of mine or whatever, but just what's one of the biggest things that everyone is doing now? Selfies. And even when they want to take a photo of someone, they'll, lovers of self, putting themselves before, husbands putting themselves before their wives, wives putting themselves before their husbands, and so forth. Getting practical like that. It's not just about the camera or phone or whatever, it's across the board. Putting yourself above others, in essence, is putting yourself also before the Lord, which is not what He wants you to do. God doesn't want you to do that. God first, others second. They say normally you last, but sometimes, as we're learning, even change to His image, man, God doesn't want us to even consider us. God tells us concerning His calling and leading, don't worry about the things concerning yourself. Just do what I've told you to do. What I've called you to do, focus on me, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things shall be added unto you. You don't worry about everything else. Live for others. Paul even said there are things that were lawful for him, but they weren't expedient for others. He even goes on to say in other places where he says, I'd rather depart and be with the Lord in essence, but to stay here is more needful for you. It's about others. It's about God and it's about others. It's never about yourself. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. I'm not going to expand on all that. I'm just saying, considering this matter of enduring, even in these last days, which certain of these things that manifested themselves in those times, and even now in our times. But look with me in verse 10 of chapter 3. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. Paul was an open book in essence. If you knew Paul, you knew what he was about. There was no secrets about him, and you knew his motives. You knew, he says it there, Timothy, you know what I'm about. You do. I'm not doing this for myself. It's got nothing to do with me, and so on and so forth. And he's saying, you know my testimony, Timothy. And then in verse 11, notice in this, not only he's known his doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience, but also his persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. It's going to be hard. It's going to come your way. And I'll show you how it will and why it will. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Praise God. The Lord is our deliverance. Amen. Always remember that. The Lord is our deliverance. Even when you think about those times, even when Paul was preaching, he got stoned. But didn't the Lord deliver him? What happened after they dragged his body out? He got back up and he went back in. He wasn't moved. God will give you grace. God will deliver you from wicked. And take no thought of your life. Don't worry. Don't worry about yourself. Don't love yourself. Don't count your life dear unto yourself. The Lord delivered Paul. The Lord will deliver you, so long as you're doing His will. Verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Again, it's not a game. There's going to be hardness. And so as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, endure it. Endure it by His grace. Don't just bear it upon yourself and you upholding it. No, we know the promises of God. We know the invitations of God to cast your cares upon Him. We know that God invites even not only the unsaved, we often use it for unsaved people, but all ye that are burdened and heavy laden, come unto the Lord and He'll give you rest. You laborers, come unto the Lord. He'll give you rest. He doesn't want it. We're laborers together with God. If you're laboring on your own, you're going to burn out. You won't be able to endure it. Discipline, like we heard in Change to His Image, can only go so far. It can only go so far. Self-discipline can only go so far. But in the work of the Lord, only the Lord can deliver you and give you grace. But there was persecutions, there was hardships. Look with me also in chapter 4. He's exhorting Timothy again in his ministry. But watch thou from verse 5. We can go from verse 2. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou, you Timothy, you watch in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Timothy, give it your all and don't slack in any area. Look at Paul's testimony in the following two verses. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. That's the fight we're in. And that's what God wants us to do. Stand one day or be in a position where we can say, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith when we come to the end of our time here on earth. And if you're not heading in that direction right now and wherever you are in life, then the good news is you can come back to the Lord and see what would the Lord have you to do. Endure hardness. It's hard. It's a war. It's a battleground. It's not a playground. And as a good soldier, 2 Timothy chapter 10. Oh, excuse me, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I've been thinking about Timothy a lot. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Excuse me. So from verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. We're not, it's again, the warfare we're in can't be fought with physical things, can't be fought with our tactics or our efforts, if you will. It's a spiritual warfare that we're in. It's an unseen enemy that we face. And so therefore, be a good soldier. Be sober. Be serious. Be ready for whatever's about to come your way. Ephesians chapter 6. Again, Paul writing now to a church in Ephesus, as I touched on in the beginning. The things that took place in church of Ephesus, I'm not going to expound on or take time, obviously for the sake of time. But if you want to read there in Acts chapter 19, what took place in Ephesus, you'll see it wasn't, if you want to put it this way, an easy mission field. There were a lot of events that took place. And to the church of Ephesus, he's writing, and where Timothy is ministering in that same area, he's writing and exhorting them from verse, let's go from verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in that evil day, and having done all to stand. Verse 14, stand therefore. And then he goes on to continue to explain how to stand practically. And again, when you have some time, continue to read through that. I think everyone's familiar with that. But beloved, all I'm saying is this. What God has left us to do is not to play games and muck around. He's called us with a high calling. As a church collectively, he's called us to the Great Commission. He's called us to labor together in unity, striving together for the faith of the gospel. He's called us, he's not called everyone to be a pastor or a preacher or an evangelist and so forth, but every single one of us has been given the Great Commission. We are all in some way or another in this warfare. Every single one of us, if you belong to God, war a good warfare, fight a good fight, endure hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. And in terms of study, Ecclesiastes 12:12 says it, much study is weariness to the flesh. It is. Much study is weariness to the flesh. It is. So even applying it to your commitments to your Bible Institute, it's going to be hard. There are going to be times where you're going to be overwhelmed. and your brains are going to feel like they're going to pop, and you can't fit anything else in, and you just, you might get to the point where you say, you know what, I'm not even going to do it anymore. I don't care. You're going to get to that point, because it does, it overwhelms you at time. But again, don't forget, it's all preparation for whatever God is preparing you for. You might not know what for, but this is all preparation for whatever God is preparing you for. And so endure it as good soldiers of Jesus Christ.